Hi, my name is Serena. I am a mother to a toddler and currently pregnant.
And hi, I'm Lisa, also known as the singing Amma. Amma means grandmother in Icelandic. I am a mama and an Amma.
At the beginning of my first pregnancy, I felt like I was lacking my village, which is why we are here creating a village with you, in hopes that you won't feel as isolated as I did.
I also felt the lack of a village in my early parenting years, way back when. And I come to our village with a background in early childhood education. I have been coaching parents along their parenting journeys and supporting them for over 35 years.
Amma Lisa and I invite you to grab your latte
or your tea
and come sit around the proverbial fire with us each week,
when we come together to have a conversation where we'll be talking all things parenting, keeping it real, keeping it raw, right here with you. Hello, Mama Serena.
Hi, Amma.
So, you know, our listeners here, you can't see this beautiful young woman in front of me on my screen, but I'm seeing a pregnant belly. I'm seeing a big, beautiful pregnant belly growing. How many weeks are you now?
Almost 27. Tomorrow will be 27 weeks.
Wow. Yeah, we're getting there.
Mm-hmm.
So when we were chatting just now before we started recording, we kind of got into talking about how things can change between mama and dad, the parents to be, or the parents with the new baby coming. And with Serena, it's the second baby, so you've already gone through it once. And I really found when I was both pregnant and then after having my baby, so much change in the intimacy and the whole wide world of sexuality. So we want to talk about that a little bit with you all. And I guess because for me, let's bear in mind that my daughter is now in her mid-30s. So a number of years ago, nobody told me that that aspect of life was going to change so fast and so much. And in fact, for me, I don't think we ever really got back on track in a good, sustainable way. I think it took us both, dad and me, by surprise and shocked us, and we just weren't expecting it. So here on We Are the Village Parenting Podcast, one of the things we are aiming to do for all of you is to talk about a lot of the things that we wish people had talked to us about. And we want to just get it out there. This is real. This is raw. And here we are with you right here.
Well, I wanted us to share our journey because for me, I always heard that a lot of pregnant women, their sex drive went up and they wanted to have sex all the time. And I felt the complete opposite. I felt like a virgin. It hurt. I felt like, it was very painful and not sexy. And I did not want to have sex at all.
So just to clarify, is that when you were pregnant or after you'd given birth?
When I was pregnant. The moment I became pregnant, or the moment I realized I was pregnant, then it's like my hole just closed up.
Uh-huh.
And it was so painful. And I've never heard that before. I thought something was wrong with me because I heard a lot of people say their sex drive went up and I felt like a virgin. I didn't want to have sex. And it was nothing that I had heard before. So that was a big shock to me. And this second pregnancy, my sex drive did go up this time.
Okay.
But with my first one, it was like, it closed up and was like, nope.
Uh-huh. Did you ever get any doctor's opinion or anything about the painful aspect of it? I know that's not entirely uncommon, but usually, I mean, I'm in Canada where we can go to the doctor. And it doesn't cost us money. So I would have gone and gotten that, but I know sometimes in the US where you have to pay a lot more for medical, people don't tend to go as frequently or with different questions. So did you get anyone to check that out with you on a medical?
I don't think I even asked the I think I Googled it a million times.
Oh yeah, the Google doctor.
Yeah, I don't think I asked in the doctors. And I remember in the beginning, they would always shove that thing in you to do the sonogram from the inside. I don't even know what it's called, but that would hurt.
And I never had that.
No?
Did you ever talk to them about it hurting when they did that?
I think they were like, a little discomfort is normal.
That would have been your window to say, is it normal that it should hurt when I'm having sex?
You know what I think it was? I think they did say I have just a very sensitive wall.
Vaginal walls are sensitive. Yeah.
Yeah, because even when they would do that, I would always bleed. It would always bleed.
Okay.
So I guess it got a little stronger.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't have experience with that particularly. And so obviously if it's painful, that's going to lessen one's interest in sex big time. For me, what happened in the very beginning, like get-go of the pregnancy, was yeast infections.
Yeast infection,
like unending. It went on and on. And you know, you don't want to have sex when you have an active yeast infection. It's uncomfortable, it hurts, and you can pass the yeast back and forth, and so it just doesn't go away. So that was the physiological part for me. So both of us had a physiological reason for losing our sex drive. And my knowledge around it too is that the hormonal changes that happen, like you said, the minute you got pregnant, kind of, there's the hormonal changes that happen alter how our bodies are dealing. And we tend to forget that hormones really run the show. They alter our emotions. Ladies, just think about premenstrual syndrome. Do you get crankier when you're premenstrual? Do you get tired? Do you get short-tempered? Do you get emotional, teary? You know, that's hormones. Being pregnant is a massive hormone shift. And our sexuality is tied directly to our hormones and our emotions, which are tied to our hormones. So it's not surprising that being sexual, feeling sexual, feeling interested in being sexual with your partner, it's not surprising all of that would change and alter. I also had some girlfriends, in retrospect later, because I didn't have anyone to talk to about it at the time. I was just sort of struggling to catch up with what the heck is going on in my body now. And why is my partner upset with me about this? I can't control it. I can't make my body want something that it's not want. Like what? But I also had some women say that their sex drive went up. And most women that I talked to said no, the other way. So it's, you know, it's, it's not like we're trying to withhold.
Yeah. And I think when we were doing our research, one thing that you found was that women are more willing to give, and that's probably out of guilt because you want to keep your partner happy, obviously, so they don't go running to somebody else. Right. But it's hard because we're not feeling sexy. Our hormones are all over the place. Our body's changing. Oh my gosh, when I look at my pictures from before I got pregnant, I'm like, wow, how did I not appreciate that body before? And after pregnancy, your body just, it's never the same again.
Yeah, and that's another part that, you know, just doesn't get talked about. And that's, for me, these kinds of conversations are what I imagine would happen in the village. You know, the old sit around the fire, grinding the herbs village in my mind, where women would say, oh yeah, I'm not feeling it either. Or, you know, he's always wanting something from me. Should we just protest? You know, like whatever, all the conversations, like, and be able to maybe boost each other up and help each other find ways of feeling sexy when you have a big baby bump, you know, and learning new ways to move in your body that aren't that svelte little quote unquote perfect figured young woman sexiness, but a whole new, I am the mama.
With sexiness. Confidence. Yes. Confidence. Yeah. 'Cause confidence is sexy.
That Madonna, that full breasted, full bellied, I am the mother sexiness. Not the little young woman. I mean, so much of this, you guys, so much of this is conditioned through media. So much of why we think our bodies are sexy or not sexy is thrown at us through magazines, through television. Now, of course, through social media, it's thrown at us constantly. We all know about airbrushing. I don't know if any of you have seen, like, just go and search it up. Airbrushing, how it changes what a woman actually looks like to what the front cover of that magazine looks like. It's not real. What's real is when we get pregnant, our breasts get bigger. Some people with small breasts, that'll be really a happy thing for a while. Some of us with larger breasts to start with, we're like, really? And our bellies obviously get bigger. We lose our waistline. Our hips and bottoms get bigger. Like, it all changes. Our cheeks get pudgy. You know, our legs might. Some people gain lots and lots and lots of weight all over. And it's what a woman's body does. We're growing a new human being. Why are we so hard on ourselves?
Yeah, I mean, I remember getting pregnant and, you know, I was 25. So all of my friends are going on vacation and posting their pictures in their bikinis on the beach. And then I'd look at myself and I'm like, ugh. And then I'd speak to other moms and say, you know, this is how I'm feeling. And they're like, but you're growing a human. And I'm like, but I still feel gross. And my nose would blow up and I'd see my arms in pictures. And it's just not what I was used to. And I mean, this pregnancy, my first pregnancy, I gained 50 pounds. This pregnancy, I've gained 20 so far, and I'm hoping I don't gain 50. I'm happy with where I'm at because I'm not going to starve myself. I also reward myself. I'm growing a baby in my belly. But this time around, it's hitting me a little more. Like, it's okay. Your body's changing. It's going to bounce back. And, you know, it's part of the circle of life. And I'm thankful that I can be a part of that. I'm thankful that I can carry a baby and bring life into this world. But it is hard, especially the first time, getting used to it. And if you're younger and you're seeing all your friends in their little itty bitty bikinis, and then you're like, oh my gosh, I feel like an elephant. But the second time around, it's easier.
See, that part actually breaks my heart a little. It breaks my heart that as women, as girls growing up and becoming young women, the goal and the ideal and what we want is to have that body in that bikini. And when we become pregnant, because many of us, most of us, I dare to say, also want to be mamas, But in being a mama, you gotta have the changes in your body. And again, I blame the media, you know, and thank goodness nowadays, even, you know, a lot of big superstars, people that you see in the magazines all the time and stuff, they are flaunting the baby bellies all over with mm-hmm. little skimpy clothing and the bellies right out there. Even when I was pregnant, I was kind of at the tail end, 35, 36 years ago. I was at the tail end of wearing the big floaty tops and, you know, the big, like, you didn't get to wear the skinny jeans when I was pregnant, girl. No, the skinny jeans were not invented yet. You had the big elastic waist that was from the crotch all the way up to the top of the waistband, which was way up here under your breasts. You know, it was like, it was not a fashion cool statement at all. It was the big ballooning clothing. It was like, oh. Now I'm really kind of jealous of women who are pregnant now, and they get to wear these really sexy clothes while they're pregnant, and they've just got the whole move going on, you know, like, I love that.
Yeah. And I've seen some ladies flaunting their bellies and they look super cute. I do the baggy clothes.
Okay.
One, because part of me, I mean, financially, to spend money on a whole new wardrobe that lasts a few months.
Yeah, but the secondhand stores have them.
Yes. But also, I feel like there's a lot of maternity clothes that are not that cute. Like, oh. I was going to a birthday party this weekend, and I just was like, feeling like you don't have nothing to wear when you're regular size is a whole problem. And then when you're a whole new size, you really have nothing to wear. And I was like, what do I wear to this party? And I went all mixed matched, and I was like, well, this is motherhood, so at least I'm showing up.
Right.
But it is very different. And there are some nice places that have cute maternity clothes. My problem for myself is spending the money on clothes that last me a little bit. So I stick to baggy, and that's part of my downfall and in making me not feel so sexy.
Mm-hmm. Maybe, girl, maybe you need to go out and find a consignment shop that has good quality, nice brands, and go get yourself something that you feel sexy in.
Yeah. Yeah. I should. We'll see. I'll tell my hubby.
Yeah.
Let's go shopping.
Maybe it's a good Valentine's present.
This just made me think of the little piggy in the lingerie that I showed you.
Oh, no. Let's not talk about that.
but yeah, and we were also speaking about intimacy changing because of overstimulation after birth.
Yeah, let's move into that, because that's really big. That's a really big change that happens.
Yeah, for mothers who are breastfeeding, and to have your baby on your nipple constantly all day sucking, and like my daughter,
and all night.
My daughter, she'll be sucking and she rubs her hands all over my chest and my face, and a lot of overstimulation. And then to have your husband touching you again, mm-hmm. and
mm-hmm.
that's.
Yeah. And for me, that was a huge thing. You know, I was what we called then an in-arms parent, an in-arms mama. Now we call it attachment parenting, where basically we're holding our babies most of the time. We're sleeping beside our babies. We are, you know, responding to our baby's needs right away as soon as they wake up. If they have laid down, sometimes she would just sleep on me, you know, in a baby carrier. But if she was laying down sleeping, as soon as she wakes up, I'm there responding. I'm not letting her get upset, you know, lying in her bed or my bed. And so always having human contact on your physical body, touch, 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 all like 4 hours a day, pretty much, maybe 23 if they have a nap off your body. And then to sexuality is so, especially for women, it's so much about being touched to get us interested, to excite our hormonal responses. We need to be touched. And no, not just in those particular zones, but all in different spots of our bodies, right? And some of the spots really make men question us. I'm like, the crease of the inside crease of the elbow, behind the knees. It's the sensitive parts of the skin, ladies and gentlemen. You need to just do a little bit of research.
Yes.
Especially if we're nursing mamas and holding our babies all the time. Don't just go for those spots that you normally go for. If that's mm-hmm. the kind of fella you are, nah.
Yeah.
And so not wanting to be touched, it just interrupts that whole, you know, cycle of excitement and getting interested. And so what do we do? How can we maintain the intimacy in our relationships? Of course, there's going to be that 6 weeks post birth where most medical practitioners will say, you know, don't have vaginal intercourse during those first 6 weeks. And for some women, it's longer than that. By 12 weeks, most, up to 90%, they say are having, you know, regular intercourse again. But of course, there are other ways of being sexual with one another. There are other ways of also being intimate with one another. It's not all about sex. It's not all about vaginal sex. And for me, I really want the men in our world to love and cherish their woman, especially when she has just given birth to his child, and to find out what she needs and what she wants and what she desires. And yes, we will give to you. We will do what we can to maintain the intimacy of our sexual connection. But how much beauty is there in our man saying, "Hey, baby, what do you need right now?"
Oh yeah, that's sexy.
You know, that's so sexy, right? That is so sexy. Yes.
Do you need a sandwich? Oh yeah.
But yeah, might not be what he was anticipating as your answer.
But him giving to you will make you want to give to him.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's why, like you said, connection. And not just intimacy, but making sure you're connecting with your partner and maintaining that connection. And maybe that looks like you communicating to him, look, right now, my hormones, because they're not going to understand your hormones.
Mm-hmm.
My hormones are crazy. I'm exhausted from breastfeeding this baby and holding her all day, or him, and communicating that with them. And mm-hmm. maybe you do need to let them know what you need, if it's a sandwich or if it's to lay down, and him respecting that and giving it to you will help you feel more connected with him and mm-hmm. or maintain that intimacy.
Mm-hmm. And one of the key words in there that you mentioned was exhausted. Mm-hmm. That is the number one reason that studies have shown, where everybody needs to do a study to find out why a woman's interest in intimacy decreases after giving birth, as if we need to do studies. No, we are exhausted. And usually dad is exhausted too, if he's at all hands-on in those early weeks after a baby's been born, which, you know, I'm sure he is in whatever capacity he can be. And, it, you know, a lot of that may be working outside the home to bring in the money. but the night times and all of that, our sleep is all disrupted. We are exhausted. And especially for women, I'm going to say, being sexual takes energy. It takes time and it takes energy. Those two commodities we have very little of in the early weeks and even the early months after having a new baby. So I think we need to be gentle with ourselves. We need to, yes, I think it's a really good idea to educate ourselves as women and try to help our partners to understand what it is we're going through. It's not about them. It's not that I stopped loving you. No. I'm nursing your baby. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest form of love there is. And sometimes they can't hear it from us. That was my experience for sure. These days, you girls are lucky because you got the internet. I did not have the internet. I had to find books on the subject, and there were very few. I don't know that I ever found any. And we, I think as women too, we need to do our best to find ways to maintain intimacy that does fulfill that need in our partners, without being, you know, just laying down and giving him everything that he wants. I'm not saying that. I'm saying let's find ways that we can just push past a little bit so that we do maintain that intimacy. The sexuality between us is important. And one of the things I read was, you know, and even if your intimacy looks like falling asleep, holding hands together on the couch after the baby's finally fallen asleep itself, intimacy is going to look different for a while. And you've got to both do your best to support each other and know that it's not about you. There's now a third entity or a fourth entity or however many babies you're having here. It's now another human is in the picture.
Yeah. And maybe you have to get a little creative and think outside of the box. But mm-hmm. even like you said, holding hands, for me, the holding hands can be so intimate and create such a connection. And sometimes you just need that loving touch that's not going to exhaust you. Mm-hmm. Holding hands is perfect.
Holding hands is so good. You know what another one that I love, which is so old fashioned these days, is when the man opens a car door for you. Mm. It's or a door going into a shop or a building. It's like this little act of honoring you. It's not like, honey, let me get that because I know you're too weak to get it for yourself. No. It's like, honey, I see you. I've got you. Mm-hmm. I'm going to open the door for you. Like, yes. Honestly, girls, my old grandma heart over here melts when a man opens a door for me. It's so funny. And it's not something that's very in vogue these days, but it's that, like you say, that holding hand, that little moment of, oh yeah, somebody's got me. Somebody sees me. Somebody's here for me. You know, and if we can let our men know that those things are important, if you're, you know, nursing the baby and just trying to get the baby to settle, if your man comes over and just touches you on the shoulder or just gives you a little, even a couple minutes of a shoulder massage, it's like, oh yeah, thank you.
Yes. Thank you. Yes.
So if we can get that information across to our men in a gentle and let's be creative way, you know, together. Because for me, I want to keep our intimacy alive. Can we work together? Because it's not going to look the same for a while, honey. It's just not. And that's okay. We got to trust this, but we got to have each other's back. And these are some of the things that might help me going through these next few weeks.
Yeah, and communicating that is very important, because I know in the beginning I wanted him to read my mind.
Oh, yeah.
And you just want them to know, I need a loving touch right now, not for you to be trying to get me all.
I need a loving touch, not a sexual touch.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Totally. I remember my guy used to say, do you want a massage? And I'd say, oh, yes, please. And he'd start massaging me, all just normal massage at first.
Happy ending.
And it was, I was like, and finally, you know, he did, do you want a massage? I'm like, no. No, because you don't want to give me a massage. You want to lead up to something. Mm-hmm. And it's like that piece, there's something about that piece where it's like, if he's touching you when you're making dinner in the kitchen, or you're feeding the baby or whatever it is, if he's coming up and touching you in a way that's like provocative, that's leading up to something. No, I just want you to touch me because mm-hmm. I want you to want to touch me. That is going to make the difference. That is going to make me want to come to bed later and get you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Yes. But like sometimes you want them to want to do it. So you don't want to have to tell them to do it. But sometimes you need to explain it to them.
Yes.
So that they know this is what you need. And for me, that took a while to understand, because like, I shouldn't have to tell him to do everything. I shouldn't have to tell him to realize this.
I shouldn't have to tell him that I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're
totally.
They're not as smart as we are. I'm just kidding.
They have a different kind of smarts. And yeah, they're not inside our bodies. They can't feel how much it takes to wake up with a baby every 2 hours and feed it from our bodies. They can't feel how much holding a baby and nursing a baby all day long, all night long, how much overstimulation of touch that creates inside our physical being. And yes, we want to talk to them about it. And I will caution you not to try to talk about it in the heat of the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're feeling that kind of touch that you think has a prerogative behind it, or a certain direction he wants to go in, and it's pissing you off or upsetting you, that's not the best moment to say, hey, honey, I need you to touch me because you want to touch me, you know? So pick a time where you're not being sexual, or think that he wants you to be sexual. Pick a time, go for a walk together. That was another suggestion, of course, too, that I had read about, was hire a sitter or leave the baby with grandma or whatever it is, even for an hour, and go for a walk together, or have a nap together, or, you know, just go for a coffee together or something. And those kinds of things, especially for us women, those kinds of little gestures of togetherness can do a million good things towards rebuilding that intimacy again, or maintaining it throughout those weeks. So on those times, and not every time you go out on a little mini date, but on those times, like, go and have that walk or sit on the couch and just say, hey baby, let's talk about this. Like, how can we be creative so that I'm feeling loved and you're feeling loved in the ways that we need right now, because we're both exhausted and this is all new.
Yeah. And also, I just wanted to point out that that's so important to maintain that and to keep that, because yes, your baby needs all the love and attention right now, but the babies grow up, they leave the home. And I mean, hopefully your plan is to stay with your partner and make it work and get through these times so that, you know, it lasts that long. And maintaining all of that, and it takes work. It's not easy. Obviously, we all know that it's not easy, but the goal is to maintain all of that so that, you know, it has longevity. And
yeah, I think looking back, for me, to be totally honest, I mean, we got through the pregnancy part because these infections did clear up and my interest in being sexual did return. But then after birth, all of what we've been talking about, the overstimulation from the baby's touch. And he and I did not have, her father and I did not have a really long, solid relationship before we got pregnant. We didn't have commonality of what do we want to do as a family? Who do we want to be as a family? We were kind of trying to invent it as we went along with a brand new baby. And so that didn't lend well to figuring out how do we do this to maintain the longevity of a relationship. We had not been together for a very long time before we got pregnant, just a few months. And so we didn't have that foundation. And we had a lot of sex before the pregnancy. And you can't build the longevity of a relationship on sex alone. I'm just going to say that. You've got to have the rest. You've got to have the pieces that are really important to you. And yeah, so all of that is to say, after the baby was born and my sex drive dropped so much, like hugely, we struggled with that. He really struggled with that. I mean, you know, a lot of men seems to take it personally. Honey, it's not about you. And then that would break my heart that he thought I'd stop loving him. Oh my gosh, I'm nursing your baby. I'm up all night. I'm like, what do you mean I've stopped loving you? How is that even a thought in your head? But for some men, they equate sex with love.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think we ever actually recovered from that initial shock and surprise. And I think partly because I didn't know enough to do what you just suggested, Serena, which is, girls, we got to work on it on our end too. We've got to make that a priority as well as our baby. I did not do that very well. And we did not have a strong foundation of a relationship going in.
Having a baby just changes everything. And I remember after having my daughter, I was like, how is this going to work? Because, you know, all kinds of problems arise after you have a baby and you realize things about each other. And I'd go to Google and ask Google, why do I hate my partner so much? But yeah, I probably Googled that a million times, and you know, it takes a lot of work on yourself with your partner, and it's not easy. That's a whole nother journey, but trying to keep the connection is important, really mm-hmm. important, while you're doing a whole nother important job of raising a child.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, indeed. And, you know, we don't want to scare you off. Women out there are listening in. We do not want to scare you off. We want to give you some information from us. You know, we've been through it. Things that worked, things that didn't work. And just kind of forewarned is forearmed. Yeah. Get some knowledge yourself about how your hormones are going to change and how you can best be with your partner through that, and get him on board with learning about it as well.
Yes, and try to embrace your body and find the ways that you need to find the things that you need to do to embrace your body and stay sexy and stay confident and know that it's a change, but everything will get back to normal with some work
mm-hmm.
and
some play. Don't forget to play.
Yes, work and play, and things will go back to normal, but try to keep that confidence. I think that's what I'm working on now. Is keeping mm-hmm. that confidence and knowing, yes, I'm a sexy mama.
Yes, y'all sexy mama. And you know, you guys have Google. You guys have Google. There's no excuse not to feel sexy when you're pregnant. Just Google, how can I feel sexy when I'm pregnant? Who feels sexy when they're pregnant? Like, look at, there's women out there who are rocking the sexy pregnant body, mm-hmm. and just feeling it. Like, you know, you are the goddess incarnate. You are the bearer of life. It's such a beautiful, beautiful time. And I just want every woman to feel beautiful when she's pregnant. I mean, I am so sad I only got to experience it once. It's just such a precious, precious time.
It is. And there's a lot of people that want to get pregnant and can't get pregnant. Yes. So it, and that's something I need to remind myself too, is, and I do remind myself that I'm so lucky. I'm so grateful that I can carry healthy babies, and I do need to embrace this strong body that's growing something inside. At first I was like
a new human.
Yeah. At first I was like an alien. But no, yeah, we're creating the population. We're creating what this world is made out of, and it's amazing.
It is. It's beautiful, and you are so beautiful.
Thank you, Alma.
Thank you so much for listening. I hope that our, you know, being real and raw here with you was helpful today, because we got into some nitty gritty. All right. Take good care. And yeah, just feel beautiful. Just feel the beauty that you are in that incredible body of yours. Love you.
Love you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks for being here with us in our virtual village. We'd love you to join our Facebook group at The Village Parenting Community and on Instagram at The Village Parenting Pod.
And if you enjoy our podcast, please like, subscribe, and share. Also, if you have a moment, please leave us a review. It makes a big difference for us in reaching more parents out there who may be feeling alone.
Please direct message us to connect also. We absolutely love hearing from you. And until next week, we'll be keeping it real and raw right here with you.
This podcast is sponsored by The Singing Alma's private parent coaching and workshop offerings, and also by Enlightened Designs for Crafty Mamas.